Well, as we, on this Mother's Day, look to God's Word, I want to do something that I don't know if I've done in my years as pastor here. I've preached a number of sermons from books of the Bible, sometimes an entire book of the Bible in one sermon. I even one time preached a sermon on the entire Bible in one sermon. But today I want to do something that I haven't really done before, and that is to preach not just on a verse of Scripture, but a part of a verse of Scripture. And that verse is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there. If you don't, this is one of those sermons that I think you probably can follow along even if you don't have your Bibles. But this is the entirety of Ephesians 6, verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, the part of that that I want to focus in on is not going to be too surprising to you, and it is simply this: honor your mother. Now, that may seem like a simple command, and it is in some ways, but not necessarily for all of you, depending on your background. I had the opportunity, Sue and I, this past couple weeks to travel out to Minnesota to be with our son and daughter-in-law and our first and only grandson so far, Hudson. And it made me aware of what a mom does anew. I realized, even as I watched Lindsay with Hudson and just kind of running the household, I thought, yeah, this is what moms do. It's what my mom did. It's what Sue did. But I was just kind of reminded again because it's been a while since we've been in that state. Lindsay, our daughter-in-law, is a pretty phenomenal young woman. She's taught school, and now she's gone back to the university for her PhD. And so while she's doing her PhD studies, she's also teaching on the side and still has time, limited time, but time for the family, and really just amazed me how she was able to coordinate things while we were there. There were a couple days where she had a sitter come in and coordinated her schedule and Carrie's schedule so that Hudson was taken care of. And then there were other days when we were the sitters, and that was a joy as grandparents. But I realized that a mom not only cares for the needs of her child, but is kind of the, at least in that household, the organizer of schedules. It made me aware that that's really what Sue did when our kids were growing up. I learned early on that Sue is the organized person of the two of us. And so whenever it came to being ready for anything, even to this day, Sue's the one that makes sure we're organized and ready for that. And as I watched Lindsay, I realized she has that same skill set. And it was just marvelous to watch. And then I realized that that's really something that my mom did. You know, when I was little, I never gave a thought to what my mom did. She just did it, and I took it for granted. When we were little, before we went to school, my mom stayed home, and she made sure that we were we had things to do, and she spent time with us. And then when we went off to school, my mom taught piano in the public school. She actually went to two different schools, different days of the week, and she taught piano Monday through Friday at school, and then she'd be home from school for us. And then on Saturday, she also taught piano private lessons in our home. And I realized all of this she did, and it just was what I thought moms did. they kind of give up their lives to help our family. And so as I thought about it, it's not too surprising that we have reason to honor moms when you have moms who sacrifice, who serve, who tirelessly give themselves to their family. But I say all that because I also know that not all of us have had the perfect mom. Despite what all the cards say about Mother's Day and that perfect mom that is espoused in every Mother's Day card, The truth is that every mom is a little bit short of that ideal. So as we look at this verse, honor your mother, and much of what I have to say about moms will be true of dads as well. It's very possible that you're a mom and you're here and you're thinking, I wish I'd done it better. Or I wish I could do it better. I'm just so tired all the time and I'm so frustrated with my children at times. If you feel that way, this is a message for you. Or maybe if you look back in your growing up years and you think, my mom really wasn't even close to those Mother's Day card pictures. It's possible when you think about moms that you think not about the ideal mom, but about the failure mom. For example, there are some moms who just don't make it because they're not particularly honorable. What do you do if you have a dishonorable mom? Now, I don't know that that gets a lot of press on Mother's Day. But there are some moms who are dysfunctional. I mean, that's just an honest statement. They struggle with alcohol. They struggle with depression. They struggle with anger management. And how do you honor a mom who's not always honorable? Or if it's not dysfunction, it's maybe it's the mom who's always critical, always yelling. How do you honor a mom like that? Well, if we are only going to honor the perfect moms today, we might as well give up on Mother's Day and give up on this command, because this is not a command given about perfect moms. There are no perfect mothers. So let's get that straight right off. And if you're a mom here or a mom out there and you're feeling, I wish I could have done it better. I wish I did do it better. Recognize that God sees the place that you have, the important position you have as a mom. And he honors you, and that's why he wants us, your children, to honor you. And so really, in many ways, this message, while I hope it'll be an encouragement to you who are moms, it's really said to those of us who are children. And that's all of us. We all share that in common. The only question is, where is your mom? She may be someone you're living with. She may be someone who lives across the country. She may no longer be on this earth. But this command is a command that all of us can apply. And I think if we do that, the moms in our church, the moms in our families, the moms in our world will be better off for it. Now, when Tim read the first five commandments from the book of Exodus, if you'll remember, the fifth commandment is the command to honor your father and mother so that it will go well for you in the land. When this verse says this is the first command with the promise, it's referring back to that command that Tim read for us. It was a promise that if you honor your mom, there will be a blessing in your life. That doesn't mean that there's a one-to-one correspondence. The more you honor your mom, the more you will be blessed. But there is a sense in which what moms do for us as kids is set a standard, set a direction. And the more we're living with the wisdom of that direction, assuming they've given us that good direction, we get blessed by that. We benefit by following the wisdom of our parents. And actually, the whole set of commands, as you read through the Ten Commandments, start with God and work to parents, and then talk about how we are to love and care for each other. That's why Jesus said that all the commands can be summed up in two parts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's how the Ten Commandments divide up. And the last of the commands that focus on God really are, is this command to love your father or honor your father and mother. Because as parents, we're the ones who set the direction for our children's life. But again, the question is, how do you honor a mom who's not necessarily that honorable? Well, let me tell you what this command doesn't mean before I tell you what it does mean, because that may be helpful. When it comes to honoring moms, what this command does not mean is that we are to honor those, I'll put all these up at once so you can see them. We're not to honor perfect moms, angelic moms. We're not to honor those moms who are on the pedestal, who are particularly honorable. We're not even commanded to honor the moms for whom we have this emotional connection. It's great when they fit that category, but there's no caveat here. If you read the verse, it just says honor your father and mother. There's no disclaimers, unless of course, no, it's, the command is simply that we are to honor them. So if you're a mom and you're imperfect, you're not angelic, that's okay. And if we as kids are going to wait around for our parents to be perfect, we'll never fulfill this command. Now, the fact is, the Bible makes it very clear that all of us are sinners. Paul declares it to the Romans in the book of Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in the family, we prove that to each other every day. That's a demonstrable truth of Scripture. It's true of children. It's true of fathers. It's true of mothers. And so if we wait around for perfection to put this into practice, it'll never happen. Clearly, that's not what this means. And if it means that mom has to be a particularly honorable person to be honored, then how honorable does she have to be? I mean, really, in many ways, we who are parents who are very much aware of our impatience, we're aware of our failure to be disciplined and to be a good role model at times, those of us who are very much aware of how far short we fall need to realize that our kids' honor of us is really not based on how honorable we are. Now, it, as you know, those of you who have great parents or pretty good parents, it's a lot easier to honor honorable parents. That's a blessing that probably those of us who've been raised in homes where we look up to our parents and we revere them take for granted. And if you have a mom or dad who you find particularly honorable, who've made sacrifices for you, a day like Mother's Day is a great opportunity just to tell mom, Mom, I take you for granted, but you've done so much for me. But even if your mom isn't always the most honorable person, there's probably some things you can find in her. And on a day like this, and then this is not a command that's given for a one day a week, one day a year kind of thing. This is a command for how we're supposed to live. You can look for those things that give you opportunity to see all that mom has done. And this is also not a command that's given just for those who have a particularly warm relationship with their moms. It was interesting when we were in Minneapolis, there were several times actually that we watched Hudson, who's a very even-tempered little 20-month-old, but he still had his momentary meltdowns. There was one occasion where I was the cause of his meltdown because we were sitting around the coffee table and he had his hand on the coffee table and I crossed my leg and in the process I kind of squished his hand against the coffee table and I knew, I could feel his fingers there and I thought, oh, this is not good. And I reached over to console him and he wanted nothing of his grandpa at that moment. And he wasn't even all that interested in his grandma at that moment or his dad, but he went right to his mom and held on to her and just wailed. There are those times when you feel that connection to your mom. I was telling our kids when we were with them that when our son Carrie was about 4 years old, Sue was putting him to bed one night and, as she was tucking him into bed, she said, I love you, Carrie. And he said, I love you too, Mommy. And then he stopped for a second. He said, and Mommy, nothing will ever keep us from loving each other. Not even if they steal me. Even if you haven't had one of those kind of moments with a child, this command still applies. It's not based necessarily on warm, fuzzy feelings, though that is a big help to your children. No, if you understand love in the Bible, love is based on a commitment to seek the other person's highest good. And so it is a commitment that we who are children can give to our parents, whether we feel like it or not, whether they seem like they deserve it or not, whether we feel close to them or not. So having given all those caveats, how do we honor our moms on this day? How do you honor your mom if she's no longer on this earth? How do you honor your mom if you don't see her very often? How do you honor your mom if she's really not part of your life anymore? Well, I think there are a few things we can do. And as we seek to do that, I think it will enhance the life of our church. It will certainly benefit our society as more and more people endeavor to live this out. We certainly live in a society where the family is breaking down and the failure of the family is one of the things that has led to many of the challenges we face in our society. So how can we honor mom? Well, first of all, to honor your mom as you look at these commands, I'll just add it. In many ways, it comes down to respecting your mother. You see, in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, in the Ten Commandments, also in the book of Deuteronomy, where the Ten Commandments are repeated, when it speaks of honoring moms or dads, it's a Hebrew word that means to give weight to. To give weight to their authority, to give weight to their influence on your life. Now that's not as easy to get in mind as maybe taking the opposite. In other words, we don't honor our moms when we take them lightly. When we take lightly the sacrifices they make for us. When we take lightly the instruction that they give us. When we fail to seriously think about them and what they have done for us, we fail to honor them. But to honor them is to give credence to them. In the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, for example, this word for honor really has the idea of respect. In fact, the same word is used over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. This is what Peter writes. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. So this relationship with our parents, this word has the idea of honor, of respect. Taking our parents seriously, listening to what they have to say to us. You can understand, especially if you have a mom that you don't always find yourself drawn to honor. That it's much like the chain of military command, where the private salutes the sergeant, not because he necessarily deserves it, almost certainly not because he has a warm, fuzzy relationship with the private. He salutes him because of his authority. And because of that, in that chain of command, there is honor, there is respect. So, how does this show itself in the family? How do we honor our moms in a way that demonstrates this respect? Well, there are three things that I thought about that are worth thinking about. First, we can respect their authority. Then we can respect their reputation. Then we can respect their position. Let me just talk about those in that order. I realize that watching on Zoom and here in the church, that probably the youngest of kids are not necessarily tuned in at this point. But if you're still living at home, you have a responsibility to respect your mom's authority. That may actually be harder for those not who are the youngest, but those of you who are maybe in your teens still at home. I mean, there is that reality in all of our lives as we grow up that we desire independence, and especially in our teenage years, there in that struggle for independence, there can be more clashes with our parents. But your family will go much smoother. Your life will go much smoother if you just learn to respect your mom's authority. Respecting her authority doesn't mean that you always agree with it, but it means that as long as what she has to say is in keeping with what God wants for you, and as long as there's no mitigating circumstance that says this isn't realistic, you need to obey her. And if there is a mitigating circumstance, something that makes her command to you more difficult, then you respect her authority not by rebelling against it or complaining about it or disobeying it. You respect the authority, if you disagree with it, by respectfully saying, can we talk about this? Can I explain to you my perspective? Respecting authority doesn't always mean that you have to obey if there's a reason, a good reason, and a good reason that your mom would agree to why this doesn't make sense. But you need to respect her. Respect her position. As you ask for her to think about it, you need to respect her final judgment. Now, I know that's easy to say from the pulpit, it's hard to live out in the family, but that's what respecting authority is about. It is primarily when our kids are growing up in our home, learning authority, learning to respect those in authority over us. Again, the better your parents do it, the easier it is to do it, but we all have imperfect parents. So even if your mom isn't the easiest person to obey, as long as what she's asking you to do is reasonable, you obey her authority. So that's one way in which we learn this respect in the area of authority. Then a second way in which we can all respect our parents is respecting their reputation. When I think about what that means, part of what that means is in my conversation about my parents, I speak respectfully of them. It doesn't mean that we never complain about them to close friends. I mean, if your parents are unreasonable at times, which all of us as parents have been that way once or twice or three times or every day, it's okay if you have a good friend to say, you know, I'm really struggling with my mom. But it's one thing to state that in a way that you're trying to work through it. It's another thing to trash your mom, to never respect her reputation. We in our families have the greatest opportunity to enhance the legacy of our moms. Even those of you who have lost your moms, who've gone on ahead of you to heaven, the way you talk about your mother affects how people think about her. If you don't have a whole lot of good things to say about her, don't say a lot of things about her. And if you need to talk to somebody, talk to people who will understand, people who know you and perhaps know your mom or know about your mom. But how we talk about our parents is a way of honoring them. And then, of course, how we talk to our parents. Whether you're young or old, there are ways in which we need to think about respecting our parents. Again, if you're a two-year-old, I saw this with our grandson Hudson. Now, he's too young for me to preach this sermon to him. He's too young for him to even understand this. But there's one clear evidence of the sinfulness of every human being is that nobody has to teach a two-year-old how to whine and fuss. But somewhere along the line, as your children grow up, if you've got toddlers, they need to learn to respect you as a mom or a dad. And as children, you need to realize how important that is for you to understand. So understanding their reputation has to do with, do you talk back to them? Can you speak respectfully to them if you disagree with them? Most of the time where I see this at its worst is with kids who are well old enough to understand the command, they just choose not to obey it. It's very easy on a Mother's Day to give the card to mom and to take her to lunch or be nice to her. But this is a command not just for Mother's Day, but for every day. And that means learning to talk with your mom. Share with her if you're frustrated. Share with her if you realize today that you've been really hard on her. Say, Mom, I want to love you better. I want to honor you more. And so help me to do that. And work together with your mom. If there are things she needs to do, maybe you can negotiate those things. But how you talk to your mom is a way of honoring her. I find even now that I'm the dad to grown children, that this still applies. Not to me as a dad, but to my children. And it's harder, I think, when you've got grown children who have their own ideas, their own plans, their own lives, and how to respect your older parents' opinions without necessarily following that. I mean, once you leave home, your parents don't call the shots anymore. If they've done a good job of raising you, your life is yours, and they've prepared you for this. They may have opinions. They may have strong opinions. Those of us who are wise parents learn to bite our tongues an awful lot and say a whole lot less. I'm still at that stage with children in their late 20s and early 30s. So that's my job, is to learn to say less. But if you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s and you have parents who have strong opinions in what you do, how you talk to your parents about those disagreements is very significant. You need to. If it creates tension and frustration and friction, it's important that you work through those things. But even if it doesn't work out perfectly, even if they're the ones who are at fault, and that can happen with imperfect people, that doesn't excuse you for being short with them or belittling them in any way. Be respectful of their position. And when I think about being respectful of a position, I also think, which is the third characteristic, it's not just their authority, their reputation, but their position. I think particularly of this particular stage of life that I'm in, and that Sue's in, that when our parents are old enough that they're struggling to make it on their own. Who is responsible for our parents? Just as our parents were responsible for us when we were little, we're responsible for them, for their well-being, for their care when they're unable to care for themselves. We live in a society that to some extent is really happy to put that on the government, to put that on a nursing home. It's not that being in a care center is a bad thing. My parents were both only children. And because they were only children, they both had to care for their parents when they were old. And with my grandfather, he had dementia. We tried when I was in my teens up to my 20s when my grandfather passed away. We tried to care for him, or my folks did, in our home, but because of his dementia, he kept wandering. And so he needed to be in a skilled care facility for his own safety and protection. There are places and needs for that, but that isn't the only way to care for your parents. It needs to be an individual choice depending on them, depending on you, their circumstances, your circumstances, but you are responsible for them. And that can be really hard sometimes. My mom, her mother lived with us lived with them. I was on my own at that time, but I came back and finished seminary in Denver where my parents lived, and they lived with my grandmother. They brought her to live with them, and she had broken her hip, and she was fighting cancer. She had dementia, but she certainly couldn't move out of her bed without assistance. And I watched my mom care for my grandmother, changing adult diapers and all the awfulness and difficulty of that. And she did that because that was something my grandmother wanted. You have to decide that with your spouse. You have to decide that and determine what's best for the needs of your parent. But the point is, sometimes that can be very difficult. But if we respect their position in our lives, we are responsible to care for them. So this little three-word command, honor your mother, is pretty multifaceted, pretty challenging. But regardless of whether your mom is more a saint than a sinner or more a sinner than a saint, we're all a mixture. And this command is to all of us to honor mom. Honor her by what you say to her, what you say about her, by how you care for her, how you listen to her, your obedience, your respect. All of that is what this is all about. We as believers in Jesus Christ have the opportunity to be for our nation and our world a light in these dark times, to help others see they need to understand. And most importantly, just to show love to mom. Mother's Day really is a day that should be celebrated in the church. It doesn't necessarily mean that every Mother's Day there has to be a Mother's Day message, but we need to honor moms because those of you who are moms deserve that. We need to honor moms because God says this is important, and we need our children to understand how important the role of a mother is to them. Don't wait for mom to be perfect to start practicing this. Don't make it a one day a year kind of thing. I would encourage each of us to think about what are the things in this command that apply to us at this stage of our lives in relationship to our moms. How can we be people who enhance their reputation, who, whether they're alive or not, show our love and appreciation for them by how we relate to them, how we talk about them? May we be people who honor God by the way we honor our moms. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for this reminder from your word. Lord, this day I am thankful for the moms in my life. I do not have to embellish anything to realize that you have blessed me beyond anything that I deserve to have my mom who gave birth to me, who raised me, who sacrificed for me, and my wife who has served as a mom to my children, who has stood beside me and helped me be a better father, and even my daughter-in-law, who I gained great respect and admiration for in the last couple weeks. Lord, I'm grateful. And Lord, I pray that you would make us all better able to honor those who are so special to us, not just this day, but every day. In Jesus' name, amen.